Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, coming up this evening, I'll be looking at new proposals in relation to climate change targets, the cost for Irish farmers, and yes, it does filter through right down to everybody involved throughout the country. We'll also be looking at a new slurry debate that seems to be raging on, and a possibility that farmers could find themselves having to switch from splash plates to trailing shoes to meet Ireland's EU ammonia emission targets. It's all about targets and meeting standards. Well, my guest this evening is Thomas Hubert of the Irish Farmers Journal. And first of all, we spoke about the climate change targets and the impact even on an area like Donegal. You've written this week about the new climate change targets, which could cost Ireland in the region of €1 billion. Now, implications, obviously, and sometimes maybe here in Donegal, we think, you know, just what sort of impact do these targets have on a rural area like here? But they really could filter through.
They could, and the reason for that is that really agriculture is the main source of greenhouse gas emissions in Ireland. That's very different to other countries, and that's why Ireland has been arguing for a different treatment in climate change targets that are set at EU level. But it hasn't been that way in recent days, especially in the European Parliament, and it looks like farmers who are deemed responsible for much of the greenhouse gas emissions that are linked to climate change are going to have to do more than we thought previously.
And bring it right down to grassroots level, you know, how do you think this could impact on a county like Donegal?
Well, it's all to do with ruminants, so cattle and sheep, and we know they create some greenhouse gases just through their digestive process, methane largely, and there's also other emissions from fertilization of grassland. Spreading fertilizer releases nitrous oxide, which is another greenhouse gas. So between fertilizer spreading and cattle and sheep, I think your listeners in Donegal know exactly what I mean there, and that's where it's likely to hit. The other area where not only farmers but everyone in the country is concerned is, as you mentioned, the €1 billion possible cost to Ireland, and that's to be funded through exchequer money, so effectively every taxpayer in the country. If Ireland doesn't meet the targets that are set at EU level, the country will have to buy credits from other countries that have done better. And although the €1 billion estimate from the IFA is really an estimate because we don't know what the cost will be in a few years, it's a market as such. You buy and sell carbon, so depending on how the prices go, it might be more, it might be less, but that's a good ballpark put out by the IFA this week.
I think a lot of people would probably feel that this is more of a threat, but when it starts hitting the country in the pocket, I mean, we are going to see certainly legislation and ultimately more restrictions.
Probably. So we talked about fertilizer. That could be one area where regulations change on the type and the way you spread fertilizer. Would you have to use more chemically protected types of fertilizer that don't release as much greenhouse gas, and there would be a cost to that? Would you have to reduce the number of cattle and sheep to reduce their emissions? We're not there yet, but it's something that's been mentioned many times before. Or would you have to feed them or manage them in terms of their life on farm and the age they're slaughtered at, or details like that that would be different to get more meat as such or more milk out of every unit of greenhouse gas emitted into the atmosphere. That's the kind of things we're looking at. We'll probably know more by the end of this month because the government is due to publish its climate mitigation plan, and there will be details of the measures in there. Farmers are not the only ones expected to contribute. There's also transport and how we heat our houses and buildings. So all that contributes to emissions and will be expected to contribute. And that's all that's being considered at government level at the moment.
And one of the challenges in particular for Ireland is the fact that we are expanding our agricultural output so considerably, and we've ambitious targets in various sectors as well. So that's going to make it all the more difficult if we're doing that on the one hand and trying to counteract an increase in emissions on another hand.
Absolutely. If you consider that Ireland should, in the next decade, 2020 to 2030, cut its greenhouse gas emissions by 30%, and around half of that comes from agriculture, and at the same time, we're planning to expand production of all farm products by more or less the same amount. Circle that square is going to be the big challenge. And even though farmers have made big progress in recent years, if you look at, for example, the amount of greenhouse gases emitted for a liter of milk produced or a kilo of beef produced, it has gone down. But as you said, as we expand production, the country's overall carbon budget, if you want, is kind of limited, and there's where we're hitting the limit.
If I'm standing on a hillside on a windy day in Donegal, I mean, this is far from being in my mind that there's a problem throughout Europe with this. In the Irish context, unfortunately, we are already some way behind meeting the targets for 2020.
We are, and potentially costs are going to kick in at that point. And that's also really overshooting the target in 2020 is going to affect the next decade as well, because what happened in the European Parliament this week is that the MEPs said, contrary to what was initially proposed by the European Commission, no, you can't actually start from where you are if you've missed the 20 targets. You know, the idea was that originally, for example, Ireland could say, okay, we've missed the 2020 targets, we pay for that, and then we get a clean slate and we start from there for the next decades, our new efforts. The MEPs said, no, it's actually, you have to meet the 20 targets, and then from there on, you start the new decade. So no leeway in terms of any ground lost in the meantime. So it's making it even harder. And you've just mentioned, the hillside in Donegal, and that's the challenge for Ireland, because if you're farming sheep on the hill, you're already doing pretty much everything that's possible in terms of cutting emissions. You're already using grass. You're already really not spreading much slurry or anything like that. So where could you cut is the big question. And Ireland had been, arguing that our production is already very low carbon intensive as it is. So it is much harder for us to cut than for countries that have either, more intensive types of farming where they have large amounts of slurry to manage that could, for example, have an impact, or large numbers of cattle, say in the Netherlands, that are on a very small surface, and they are addressing that by reducing numbers. In Ireland, we're not really in a position to do much, and we don't have big industries either, like coal or steel, these old industries that are very highly emitting in greenhouse gases, so we can't cut there either. So that was the argument, but it hasn't been heard much in the European Parliament.
And with an expanding economy, certainly sectors like transport have been a major contributor to the increase in emissions in recent times. And the farm organisations no doubt would feel that, we do have a special case. Maybe there should be some sort of derogation.
That's what they've been saying, and that there was a pretty strongly worded letter from the IFA to both Minister for Climate Action, Dennis Nocton, and Minister for Agriculture, Michael Creed, who are both staying in their jobs, so they will be able to follow on what they've been doing. But really, the IFA saying that it's putting the whole sustainable development of Ireland and farming in particular in jeopardy to impose such big targets that we're not going to meet, spend money on paying for the fact that we've missed the targets instead of investing it into actually, technology and infrastructure that could help us reduce those emissions. So a pretty bleak picture as it stands at the moment.
And finally, just in relation to this topic, sometimes the carrot and stick approach works best. Would it be possible that we may see some sort of even a grant aid to facilitate people to take steps to reduce emissions?
That's probably the way we're going to work. It's already happening. If you look at some schemes like GLAS and TAMS, there are grants for slurry spreading equipment that limits releases of gases into the atmosphere. You've got a number of things coming down the line for renewable energy as well, and probably some of that will come from farms in the terms of, in terms of energy crops, things like that. As I said earlier, there is this plan at government level coming up. The draft plan we've seen so far seems to indicate that most of the effort would focus on transport and housing rather than agriculture. So maybe a continuation of the grants that exist. The BTGP scheme for beef is another example where you're basically getting paid to improve the carbon efficiency of your herd, and this whole carbon navigator, which has been a bit of a headache for some farmers, the bureaucracy around it, but it does show where you can at the same time cut greenhouse gas emissions and get more efficient and more profitable on your farm. So this is the kind of incentives that will probably become bigger in the future.
I'm speaking with Thomas Hubert, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. We touched on slurry there and on a related matter. There has been a bit of controversy raging recently about splash plate slurry spreading restrictions, and this is all tied in again with pollution and pollution policy.
Exactly. It's another type of pollution here, not so much tied with climate, but with our own health here in Ireland, and the fact that ammonia is released when you spread slurry. As you said earlier, we're increasing production, so as a result, we're increasing the amount of slurry that's being spread and the ammonia that's released from that. And there's a consultation that was opened by the Minister for the Environment and Climate Action last month. In the consultation paper from that department, there was a question: should we put a future end date on the use of splash plates or spreading, and with considering there would be schemes to help farmers and contractors adapt to that, and grants probably, but the idea there is that splash plates, really, when they spray the slurry into the air, they release this gas that's harmful to health. So if we want to, again, meet EU targets in terms of those emissions, we're going to have to find solutions. Chagask said in its own submission to that consultation that it would take at least half of the slurry spread in the country to go through trailing shoes instead of splash plates to avoid that ammonia release and to meet those targets. So we're looking at least a very large amount of splash plates being converted to trailing shoes, if not all, because the idea also is how you verify every spreader in the country that it is meeting this 50% threshold that Chagas said would be necessary. So the idea put forward in the consultation paper was a full ban on splash plates. Maybe it will not come to that. Maybe it will be some kind of halfway measure. We don't know yet. It's all up for discussion. And the minister, Dennis Naughton, said to us this week that it was a consultation paper and there is no policy direction decided yet. So all to play for in that area.
Ultimately, though, it would mean an additional cost for many farmers if they're having to make that conversion.
It would, and there's been some reactions to that. Initially, the Association of Farm Contractors, who would be the most directly affected there, they said they would be open to converting their splash plates, but they would need grants for that. We got the same comments from the Roscommon Galway TD, Michael Fitzmaurice, this week. He also contributed to that consultation and said the same thing. There would need to be full grants to pay for that cost, because a trailing shoe is a lot more expensive than a splash plate by, 10,000, 15,000 euros, depending on the size of the machine. So all that would need to be financed, and there's been some calls for that to be fully granted.
A case then of watch this space. Thomas Hubert, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, many thanks for joining us this evening. And just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices: steer base €4.15 to €4.20 a kilo, heifers €4.25 to €4.30 a kilo. Young bulls making €4 to €4.25 a kilo, and cows €3.40 to €3.80 a kilo. Onto the sheep prices, well, strong demand. Spring lamb €6 to €6.10 a kilo to 21 kilos. Ewes €2.70 to €2.80 a kilo. Well, that's it for this evening's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. From me, Chris Ashmore. Until next week, goodbye.